Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to welcome everybody, especially our visitors. Glad that you came to worship with us today. Got a couple of announcements before we get into our lesson. Emily and her daughter, Emily Alvarado and her daughter, Lexi, they were sitting right back there. Did they? They must have left or maybe went to the restroom or something. They are identifying with us here to worship with us in South Valley. We extend a very warm welcome to them. Glad that they are worshiping with us. We've had a number of families in the last few months join us and are jumping in and attending classes and working here with us. Have a couple of prayers that we need to remember. One for Raven. Raven sends her love and hugs and best wishes to everybody here. And we need to remember her. She's been having some health challenges lately and would love to be able to come back to worship. And so we will go to God on behalf of Raven in just a moment. And also, if you would, remember our son Bobby in your prayers. He tore the rotator cuff in his right shoulder, and it's pretty painful. And the doctors are trying to avoid surgery. And so if you'd keep him in prayers, it'd be appreciated. Let's go to God in prayer right now on behalf of these. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you thanking you for all the blessings that you give us. We are so thankful for the number of families that have joined us lately, have decided to work and worship with us here at South Valley. We ask that you be with Emily and Lexi, that they feel welcomed here, that they can take part in the fellowship and the work that's going on here at South Valley. Dear God, we also ask that you be with Raven. She has had a number of challenges the last few years. We ask that you be with her and give her strength and let the doctors be able to treat her properly, and that she will be able to come back to worship and fellowship with us here. She misses that immensely. Dear God, we ask that you be with Bobby, be with his, with the treatment that he's getting, and let that be effective and hopefully where he doesn't have to have surgery. Dear God, be with us rest of our worship. We hope that everything done today will be pleasing to you, and that everything's done in spirit and in truth. We pray everything through your son Jesus. Amen. Remember, man, it's been 40 years ago now. Those of you might remember Nancy Reagan, the first lady. She took on kind of a personal challenge, and Marion's shaking her head, the just say no. Just say no to drugs. And she kind of made that a mission of hers. And she had a lot of passion in it, and unfortunately, you still see people on drugs. Hopefully it helped some to either avoid it or whatever. But this concept, just say no, it's not new. Nancy Reagan, for all the work she put into it, she didn't start it. God kind of started it. God wants us to just say no to a number of things. We look at some people in the Bible that had that attitude of just saying no. One of them was Daniel. We had the scripture reading that Don had earlier. In Daniel 1:8, Daniel had the attitude before, which made it a lot easier. He made his mind up before. being confronted with issues. And it says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. He's going to make that decision in whatever comes his way. One of the first was with the food and drink that was being offered him. We see Joseph, another just say no. He was working for Potiphar, and Potiphar's wife had had her eye on Joseph for quite some time. He was a good-looking guy, and she had some ideas about Joseph and made some offerings to him. And in Genesis 39:12, it says that she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. He had already made the decision in his mind to just say no. How much easier would it be for us, which we should have the attitude, say no to certain sinful things in life. We say no now, like Daniel did, purpose in his heart, no. I'm not going to go that route. Rather than making the decision at the time, under pressure, each and every time we're confronted, our decision is already made, or should be, as Christians. Just say no. I'd like for us to look at a couple of different issues where we should just say no. One is peer pressure. I always think of it with kids, but you know what? Peer pressure affects adults too. You know, school is getting ready to start, and the kids have got, you know, their frowns now. They, you know, you had to remind us, Bruce, that school is getting ready to start. We got another week and a half until school starts. There's going to be peer pressure. But you know what? Parents, there's peer pressure in our lives too. And one of the greatest bits of advice that we are told in the Bible is to think for yourself. The Bereans did that in Acts 11. You know, that they were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, and they studied the scriptures daily to see if those things were so. They just didn't follow the crowd. And that's another thing. Don't follow the crowd unless the crowd's right. I like to think that the majority of us in here would make the right decision. And then we would be in the right crowd. But don't follow the crowd. I don't care whether it's the preacher or your best friend. If they're wrong, they're wrong. Mm-hmm. And how many times are people described as wolves in sheep's clothing? Mm-hmm. Very rarely are God's people in the majority, very rarely. And we need to say no to peer pressure. Peer pressure can get us in trouble. In Proverbs 12, verse 26, it says, "The righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray." How true is that? We've seen that ourselves in our lives over and over again. How we pick the wrong people and they wind up having a bad influence on us. just saying no to peer pressure. Exodus 3, with Moses. On Mount Sinai, Moses was called up by God and was being selected to lead the Israelites out of bondage in Egypt. We've had lessons on this before. Moses came up with every excuse in the book why he can't, you know, why he's not the best choice. One of his excuses was, "Who am I? What will the people say?" He was worried about what the Israelites would say about him being the leader. And God answered him in Exodus 3, verse 12. He says, "I will certainly be with you. Don't worry about the whole tribe of Israel. I will be with you." We're reminded in Romans 8, verse 31, Paul wrote to the Romans, he says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" Amen. That is something that we should take in our lives with us every day. And if we really take this to heart, peer pressure wouldn't really be pressure to fit in. Because if we're on God's side, does anything else really matter? That if we've got God in our corner, the other people that are putting pressure on us really don't have much weight and much leverage in our lives. Another thing that we should just say no to is sin itself. If the Bible is anything, it is an account that sin never works out well.
Amen.
How many times do you need to be told it doesn't work? If God told us once, that's enough. Mm-hmm. But how many times? It just seems like it's a whole book. How and people embrace sin, and it never works out good for them. Another thing about sin is it separates us from God. Amen. We cannot walk in sin and be pleasing to God or be with God. It cannot be done. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, the Apostle John wrote through the inspiration of Jesus, says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." I want to read that one more time. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. We see the three paths of sin. And any sin that we could think of would fall into one of those categories. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life. They're worldly, and we shouldn't be. We need to just say no, because if we embrace the world, if we embrace sin, we are not of God, it says. And we've taken the name Christian. We should live up to that and just say no to sin. Romans 6, verses 1 and 2, Paul wrote, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. how shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? We have put, when we've become Christians, we have put to death that part of our life. We have died to sin. We've turned our back on it and have gone on to bigger and better things. Romans 6:12, just a few verses later, says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. I don't know of a person that doesn't stumble. We all are going to stumble. Even with the best intentions, we're going to stumble in life. But here, Paul is saying, therefore, do not let sin reign. Don't let sin rule your body. Don't live in a state of sin. We're going to stumble. We're going to sin. But there's a big, big difference in sinning and living in sin. And Paul is telling the Romans here, don't let sin reign in your body. Don't let it be the power that guides you. Just say no. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from every form of evil. You can't take on a little sin and it be acceptable to God. Don't we try to do that though sometimes? Don't we try to categorize, oh, well, I'm not as bad as this person, or at least I didn't do this sin. Well, the sin that you did will still send you to hell. Would you feel better going to hell for this sin rather than that sin? Paul breaks it down. He says, abstain from every form of evil. Don't play with fire. Don't mess with it. Say no to mediocrity. Nobody. And this is a little personal for me right now. I despise mediocrity. There's a big difference in being average, having average ability or average talent, and the attitude of mediocrity. You have the attitude of mediocrity, you're pathetic. Absolutely pathetic. Being average, average ability, but have the attitude of wanting to improve, that's us. We've all improved from something not so great. We've grown in life. That's the attitude. The attitude of being mediocre is absolutely disgusting. Nobody, if you have the attitude that mediocrity is acceptable, you've already lost. Doesn't mean you have to be the best. You have to try your best. Big difference. Big difference. Revelation 3, when Jesus was addressing the seven churches of Asia, he was addressing the church in Laodicea. It says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Jesus finds mediocrity, being lukewarm, also disgusting. Doesn't mean You can't have average talents, but the attitude. The Apostle Peter tells us the steps of growth as a Christian. Hopefully, we have improved and have matured since the day we were baptized. Amen. I like to think we have. But if when we came up out of the waters of baptism, a brand new babe in Christ, if that's where we stay, that's not good. We need to grow and mature. The Apostle Peter says, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. We grow. We don't just stay the same way. And last but not least, just say no to the urge to quit. If there's anything I hate worse than the attitude of mediocrity, it's a quitter.
Amen.
I hate quitters. The attitude of quitting. There's too much quitting in this world. People that give up on their faith. I'm sure we've all got many sad stories of people that were maybe close to us that have given up on their faith and are either in the denominational world or have turned their back on God completely. The world is full of stories of people that give up on their family, give up on a spouse, give up on their kids. People that quit on the duty that has been given them, whether it be Christian, as a spouse, as a parent, as an employee, they just quit. Things get too tough, I'll just quit. Go to something else. Just say no to that urge to quit, especially spiritually. Do not give up on God. He's not giving up on you. Matthew 10, 22, Jesus is telling his followers, he's prefacing it that you're going to have persecution. They have no idea the hardship that is going to come in the next few years and decades. Every one of the apostles are going to meet a violent death except one. Only John will die a natural death of old age. Every other one of the apostles will die violently. And he says, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be saved. We've got to endure to the end. We can't quit. They couldn't quit. We can't quit. Paul addresses this idea quite a few times in his letter to the Corinthians. They might have needed to have been told a few times. They're told to hold fast, to be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. They're told to remain, to stand fast, like soldiers. Don't retreat. Don't surrender. Jude gives us the encouragement to contend earnestly. Don't quit. There's too much at stake. Our salvation is at stake. We can't quit. Luke 17, 10. So likewise, and this is Jesus talking, so likewise, when you have done all those things which you are commanded. Say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. We're not doing anything special by obeying. Well, we are. But we're not doing anything above and beyond what by obeying God. He told us to do that. We don't get any special pats on the back. We were told to. Just say no. There's a number of other things that God wants us to say no to. We'll address those at another time. But we looked at four today. Say no to peer pressure. Say no to sin. Say no to mediocrity. And say no to the urge to quit. Hopefully, this will give us a little boost going into this new week to just say no. Because I guarantee we're going to be encountered with things, temptations, the urge to lash out at somebody, the urge to do things that we're not supposed to do. God wants us to just say no.
Amen.
If we can be of service to you, if you need to repent of sin in your life, if you need prayers of the congregation, if you need to put your Lord on in baptism, if you have not been baptized, I urge you to continue studying. Ask anybody here, we will study with you, or direct you to somebody that will study with you. And if you need to be baptized, we can accommodate you. If you're looking for a church home, like Emily and Lexi, they identified with wanting to work and worship with us here. We urge you, the invitation's there. If we can be of service, please come forward while Daryl leads us in the invitation song. Let's stand and sing.